This is going to remind us quite a bit, these prakim, the next couple prakim of Hosea, really toward the end, is going to remind us of what Yeshayahu was talking about, and a little bit of Yirmiyah, right, before he started talking about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. This is really, it really is Yeshayahu. It looks, it sounds exactly alike. Come, let's do tshuva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Torah, for he has torn up Gezeros before. Mirpa'inu, he has healed us before. Yach, Yach Bashenu, he has hit us, but nonetheless he has bound us up afterward. The line is that don't rely on any other nation. Don't rely on the Assyrians, don't rely on the Egyptians. No one's going to help us right now. The only person who's going to be able to help us is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what we're asking right now. That's that. Some say this is a reference during Yoshia's reign, that during the times when they already were Talmidei Chachamim and they were learning Torah together, he was saying, come, we'll be able to take care of this, we'll be able to do something. Right? Either way, regardless, that's the idea behind it. Chayenu mi'omayim. After 2 days, right, he will, right, let us live. Bayom HaShlishi, on the third day, Yikimenu, he'll raise us up, the Nichya Lefanav, we should live in his presence. Now, obviously, whenever you see the words two and then a third, is always referring to the Bavdi HaMikdash, first two Bavdi HaMikdash. We lived, right, but it wasn't great. Then we're going to be set up. We will truly live in front of him by the third Beis HaMikdash. That's the line over here.
Isn't there a bigger Navi than everybody?
Hosea?
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
It says, according to the Talmud, Tzachim, he was a greater prophet than any of his
contemporaries. Oh, whatever. That dealt with the first parak. We dealt with that already. Okay, Pasuk Beis. So we say that after those 2 days, some say that it refers to the actual exile. In other words, the Egyptian exile and then the Babylonian exile. And then comes the future redemption. That's what happens over here. That's the idea behind it. Some people say that. Others say the 2 days and then the third day is referring to Rosh Hashanah. He stands us up and lets us live on Rosh Hashanah. And then Yom Kippur is when we finally are revived. That's when we have like a full status and everything's like that. That's the idea behind it. Anyway, regardless, there's a bunch of different things. Sometimes, the mushel that he gives over here, a man comes to a doctor complaining of a large wound or an infection. The doctor cuts open the wound. The man becomes upset about the open wound and goes to other doctors. They can't find any cure for it. So they tell him, go back to the first doctor who opened up the wound, because he's the only one that knows what's going on over here. He's the only one that's going to be able to heal you. The idea is that the Navi is saying, the more you remove yourself from Hashem, there's no way you can heal yourselves. There's no one else who can do this for you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu may have opened up the wound, but he did it because he knows he'll be able to heal you from it. That's the idea, and that's what he was doing over here. He's the one who's able to take care of it. Pasuk Gimel. The Neda, we will know, near Defa, Ladas Hashem, we will chase after to try to know God. Kishakar Nachon Motza'o, just like the light of dawn, by daybreak, right, we will be able to find him, right? When you look for something in daybreak, you obviously will be able to find him. But Yavo Kageshim Lanu will come down to us as if it's the rain, Kimalkosh Yoret Oretz, like the later rain that gives water to the earth. That's what's going to happen over here, the idea behind it. This idea of clarity of mind is the idea. That we're going to try to strive to find a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's going to be clear to us. We're looking for clarity. What does a Kadosh Baruch Hu want from us, and what is that? And it'll come down like rain. The same way that rain sometimes comes all of a sudden, it just hits you. The sudden idea of what we want and what we're supposed to get out of it is going to be boom. All of a sudden we're going to know it without even thinking about it. That's the idea behind it of what's going to happen over here. Can you grab another one? Thank you. Okay. So that's the idea behind it. We're not going to strive more than anything like that. The line that he says over here is the Me'amalei says, he's going to afflict us, but it's going to be in proper measure. He's going to withstand the blows for us to be able to take it, and then we're going to be able to go further and further and further on that. That's that. All right. Ma eselech Ephraim. What can I do to you, Ephraim? Again, Hosea is speaking to Bnei Yisrael. Pasuk Dalet. Perek Vav Pasuk Dalet. What can I do to you, Ephraim? Ma eselech Yehuda. What can I do to Yehuda? Chasgam Ka'an and Boker. This is the famous line. Your chesed are like the clouds of the morning. V'chatal mashgam oleich. Like the dew that goes very early and is gone. Absolutely gone. It's like this. The rain of the morning is known, the clouds of the morning are known as lying clouds. L-Y-I-N-G. Lying clouds. In fact, so I guess in Bubble was like this, the Gemara in Titus says, they looked up in the morning, they saw clouds there, and they said, oh, it's going to rain. But it didn't rain all day. They said, even the clouds of Bubble lie. Even the clouds of Bubble lie. That's the line that they use.
I'm sorry? It's like a desert. I'm sure they tell the truth every morning.
What, Bubble? No, Bubble's a watered land. The Tigris and Euphrates. It's a very waterfall.
River. It's not watered by rain. It's
I don't know. Is it? No. Yeah. What happens in Iraq?
I'm assuming it doesn't rain that much.
It doesn't rain there.
Yeah. Is it true?
120 degrees with like dust storms.
That's like northern and western Iraq, not in like Eden, right? That little area.
Yeah. When the U.S. Army was there, I remember reading articles about it being 120 degrees and wearing all.
I do remember the spiders. I do remember the camel spiders that they talked about, but I didn't know that. I didn't realize that.
Those are crazy.
I guess you're right. So maybe we'll refer to something else. Either way, there were clouds in the morning that were whatever, and they didn't see anything. Katal mashkim oleich, like a dew that goes early and it's gone, absolutely gone, and that's the idea behind it. Regardless, the idea behind all this is that Ephraim kept going back on the word, and Yehuda should have learned from them. So what he's saying is ma'asalacha Ephraim, and then ma'asalacha Yehuda. Yehuda, you should have learned from what happened with Ephraim. That's the idea behind it over here. Pasuk hey, alteinchot stopped him to be him. That's why I was hewn with the prophets. I sent over the prophets over there. Haragtim de imrefi, I killed them by the word of my mouth, umishpatecha, or you'd say, the judgment goes forth like the light itself. This is the idea. Unfortunately, it's that I sent them on a mission, which is basically a suicide mission. And all the Nevi'im to try to do something, right, which is basically going to be impossible for them to be able to do. Ki chesed chafatzi, I want chesed, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, lo zavach v'das lo kim me'olos. I don't want any korbanos. I want the knowledge of God rather than any burnt offerings out there, the idea behind it. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, right, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai got involved, that there should be a practice of kindness and some type of Abba that goes throughout the entire world. That is better than any bit of korban that a person could possibly give. A person gives up of his time rather than anything else. That's that. Shlomo Melech spoke about in Koheles that Achdus is going to help more than anything else would do. That's the line over here, yeah.
For Torah, right?
Correct. That's going to be the idea. Now, there's a muscle that he gives over here that the Me'am always gives. This is actually a pretty good one. Two artists were commanded by their king to prepare paintings. So one was instructed to paint a pleasant pastoral scene of mountains, fields, and vineyards. The other was to paint a likeness of the king. You have to paint the king himself. So the artists did what they were supposed to do, but at the end, neither one of them succeeded. Each one that they made had been ugly distortions of what they were actually were seeing. The first artist who painted mountains, fields, and vineyards was fired from his job. You're obviously a bad painter. How could you have messed up all those things? But the king didn't pay him, but that was that. The second one was thrown into prison. Why did you treat the two artists differently? The king answered, obviously. The first artist's picture does not reflect shamefully on me. Right? Yeah. It's not shamefully on me. But the second picture makes me look strange. He's ridiculing me, and it's an insult to the king. So the idea is the following. When it comes to korbanos, if a person does not bring a korban, or he does not offer it properly, right? There's no offense against the Kaddish Baruch Hu's honor. If he doesn't bring it, or whatever it is, he doesn't offer properly, there's not going to be an offense. But when a person becomes depraved and robs and takes from other people and grabs things that are not his, then he offends the honor of his maker. Because you represent, as a Tzelem Elokim, what a Kaddish Baruch Hu is supposed to be. By stealing and taking and grabbing, you are going up against what he has. So that's the idea. You brought a bad korban? Okay, you're fired. I'm upset. But you act like a menuvel when it comes to other people, but then the machabero aspect, well then, no, I can't have that at all. That's when the person is, so to speak, thrown in jail or taken out from this world. They, like Adam Rishon, have gone up against my bris that I made, my covenant. They have dealt treacherously with me. They did bad things that everyone wanted. Gilad, Kiryas Poliyavim. Look in Gilad. Gilad, which is an area of Menashe, was a city filled with people that were doing sins. Akuba Midam. It is tracked with dumb all around, with blood all around it. It's filled with blood all over. Gilad was supposed to be this place where everybody was murdering. It's funny. They used this pasuk, right, as well as the pasuk that we're about to mention, to show that that's why Gilad deserved to have Ari Miklat so close to one another, that only 2.5 Shvatim on the other side, yet they had 3 Ari Miklat. It's a strange one, because it's all the way by the times of Hosea, but Ukechake Ish Gedudim, as bands of fishermen, people that set out nets together, Chever Kohanim, like a group of Kohanim, Derech Yeratz Hushchama, they stood on the road to murder on the way to Shechem, Ki Zima not do. They only do depravity. Lots of people ask what exactly it is. Some people say that it's just referring to random people, like the Kohanim got together to travel to go to Eretz Yisrael or Yerushalayim. So these guys assembled to commit crimes. That's what they go ahead and do. Others say that just like the Kohanim gather together to get their trumos and maestros from the people, they go to the base of Grunos, the granary, in order to get what they're supposed to do. These bands of robbers go together to murder the people that are out there. That's the idea behind it. That's what it's supposed to do. Others say that literally the robbers are there to murder the Kohanim. On the Kohanim's way to the base of Mikdash, they stood there and they wouldn't kill other people. They only killed the Kohanim. That showed how depraved they were. They were only going up against the holy men as opposed to anybody else.
Geographically, does that make sense?
If the Kohanim lived out there, which some of them may have, then yes, it would make sense. That was there would be a certain road to get into Eretz Yisrael.
Kohanim all lived in the... There were a lot of Kohanim in the Ari Miklat, no? Wasn't that their job?
The Ari Miklat, exactly, yeah. Were the cities of Kohanim. Yeah. By this time, you'd assume so. It's been 650 years since the Ari Miklat were created by Moshe and Yoshua. So you'd assume that they still exist, but I don't know. As of right now, Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuben had not moved yet. So in theory, those Ari Miklat are still out there. That's what it sounds like. The Beis Yisrael Re'isi Shalurya. I've seen a horrible thing, says the Kaddish Baruch Hu, among Bnei Yisrael. Shum Znus La'afrayim. There's a ton of Znus going on. Nitma Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael have been defiled. Now some say this refers to Mamish Znus, that they were being Mizana and there were men and women doing harlotry, etc. Others say it refers to the Eglei Zav. That Ephraim, referring to Yeravim ben Nebat, set up the Eglei Zav, and that the harlotry referred to over here is really referring to Avodah Zarah. That's what it's referring to over here. Others say that it refers to the Chachamim being killed, the Talmid Chachamim being killed by Izebel and Achaz, of what was going on over here, and that's what it refers to, that they had done such horrible, horrible things. Gam Yehuda, also Yehuda, Shas Katsir Loch, there is a harvest for you as well. Don't think that you're going to be free of this. If you continue in the ways of Bnei Yisrael, not only will they be destroyed, but you will be as well. Bishuv Yishvu Sami, when I turn back the rebellion of my people and I send them out, you're the next one that's going to be around over here. Some say that the Astaroth HaShlachim convinced some of the people of Yehuda to worship the two golden calves. That sounds strange, but nonetheless, it could be that they consider that, again, another part of the system of worshiping HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Eglei Zav became a part of their system. Parak 9. Kirafi Li Yisrael, when I healed Bnei Yisrael, Benigla Abon Ephraim, then Bnei Yisrael's sins are now revealed. The idea is like this. Remember when Hoshea ben Ela became king at the very, very end? Hoshea ben Ela became the king of all Bnei Yisrael. He took down all the partisios, all the guards that were stopping them from going to Yerushalayim and stopping them from going to do Aliyah L'Ragel. And the people still didn't go. So when I heal Bnei Yisrael, and when I allow the Jews to somehow go, Bnei Glav and Ephraim, that reveals their sin, that they still didn't want to go. Now, granted, I will tell you, I would think it's kind of obvious. If for almost 250 to 300 years, I don't even know how much it was, right, the Jews had not gone to Yerushalayim, and probably weren't taught this in their schools, and probably didn't know anything about it. Hoshea ben Ela getting up there and saying, all right, guys, you can go to Yerushalayim, probably meant nothing to them. They were still connected with their Eglei. It was too late. It was too late for them. So I don't find this to be the worst in the world.
That why the final struck. God was telling them, I'm going to give you one more chance.
So to speak. And maybe Hoshea ben Ela have to tell them, not only that taking it away, but everyone must go to Yerushalayim. Maybe that's what Hoshea ben Ela should have done when he didn't do it. That was it. That reveals the oven of Ephraim, but Rose Shomron and the evil of the Shomron, keep all who sucker, because yeah, they do falsehood.
On the shoulders of the king.
You can lead a horse to water. Come on.
Agreed, but he didn't do what he could have done. Now granted, he wouldn't be blamed as much had he said the law and told them, this is what you're going to do. But a king is a king, remember. This is not a president. This is the king. He says to do something, you do it.
Yeah,
but don't ask why.
Northern kingdom, it wasn't like it wasn't a king is a king the way it was in Yehuda. A king is a king. Not until somebody came over, killed him, and said, I'm the king now.
Yeah, but still, when the king said something,
we disagree. There were some kings that you're referring to that I agree with, but Achav was a powerful king.
You're right, but was Hoshea ben Ela?
We don't know. We don't know. I hear what you're saying.
He didn't come. I mean, maybe he was more powerful.
You're saying obviously Ela was not the king, right? He did usurp the throne, but I don't know. if he was able to get rid of the Partisius, which had been there for hundreds of years, I would assume he had some power. But that is his up. Follow Shaker, but God of Yavo, right? A thief comes in, Pasha Gidu Bachutz, and robbers raid on the outside over here. That's the idea behind it. That's what they're trying to do. There's a couple things over here. Again, the same way of uncovering the sin of Ephraim. It's sort of like, again, the doctor uncovering the wound in order to heal the wound. Sometimes he has to open it up a little bit more in order to get in there and to be able to heal what he has to heal. Only somebody can really do this. So here's the deal. There's another muscle over here. A monarch fell ill and his doctors told him there's no hope for you unless you buy a medication which costs thousands of dollars. Thousands of dollars. So the king wept. So his son said to him, the princess said, why do you cry? The money is so precious in your eyes that you have to spend it on your medicine. So the king said, my sons, I don't weep for the money. The fact that it requires such an expensive medicine tells me how bad my sickness really is. That's the idea behind it. So to over here, when I heal B'nai Yisrael, you're going to have to uncover the sins of Ephraim, means this is a really bad disease. It's so bad that I have to go delve into it and I have to do open surgery, says the Kaddish Baruch Hu. To that, the people of Ephraim cried. Now we see how bad it really is, how bad we really have to get involved. Now, in Pasuk Beis, Ubal Yom Elovavam, they should not say in their hearts, Kol Ra'asam Zakarti, that I remember all of their evil, and not their good. Atas Vavum Malalam Neges Hanai Hayu. Now all of their sins are around them as if they're right there in front of me. Hoshea is trying to say, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not saying that that's the only thing that's around. Just the problem is, you've done so many misdeeds, so many averos, it's impossible for me to not to see them along with the mitzvahs that you have. It's kilu, every mitzvah you do, there's two averos to come with it. A doctor prescribed for his patient that he should keep away from certain foods. Sometime later, the patient ate from the food and he suffered harm. Should the guy blame the physician, the doctor, who told him not to eat it? No. The harm was that he ate the food. The idea is that when that ability is there, when something's right there in front of them, and he still does it, and does it again and again and again, they should realize there's no choice. The punishment is automatic. You made yourself sick.
Yeah, no, I understand, but they're already sick. So the point is, you're saying, don't do it.
Don't do more. I have a great story, an unbelievable story. You want to hear this, Shai? There's a girl that was eating by our house, and I don't know how this subject came up, but it came up to Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, and I said, how awesome Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are. Right? Absolutely delicious, right? I even said the line, no, not agree. Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. I said, it's probably the only reason why I'm not Kol Yisrael right now, because they don't have an equivalent. There's no equivalent of Kol Yisrael. It's probably the only thing. I cannot get over that.
You take Jif extra crunchy natural peanut butter and put that on the better.
Okay, that's disgusting. David, I'm with you. Not you, this David. Regardless, so this girl was sitting at her table. She's married. She has like three kids. She's sitting at the table and she's like, you know, I'm allergic to Reese's peanut butter cups. What happens when she eats Reese's peanut butter cups? She doesn't know how. She's allergic to somehow. It makes her sick as a dog, and she has to go to sleep. So she said to her husband at the table, she's like, Eskato ayan in the skira yom. I'm just telling you that my sin, right? There was one time, do you remember a couple weeks ago when I said that I was really sick and I had to go to sleep early? I said, yeah. She said, I couldn't handle it anymore. And I ate three Reese's peanut butter cups. I claimed I was sick because I knew what would happen to me afterward. And she basically passed out after having, but it was worth it. It was worth it to have the Reese's peanut butter cups to pass out afterward and to be sick afterward. It's unbelievable. I said, you are my hero. That's what I said to her. You're my absolute hero. Okay, regardless, that's the shot. The Jews knew what their problems were. They knew exactly what the sins were. And the Nevi'im were telling them, and they just couldn't stop it. They knew it was there. Exactly. They couldn't stop it.
Why wasn't the positive of what they were doing, the mitzvahs that they were trying to do?
Not enough.
Why wasn't that enough?
Who says it in Tshuva? They couldn't stop themselves. Tshuva is a diva sachet. They couldn't stop themselves.
Well, no, but acknowledging it and asking.
You're right. Diva and Charata counts as something. It's not a full Tshuva, but it counts as something. There wasn't enough. It just wasn't enough. Or their vidu and the Charata was not enough. Their vidu was, oh, I sinned by eating a Reese's peanut butter cup. The Charata was like, but that was awesome. You know what I'm saying? That wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. You have to do real charata. That's not charata. So, Pasuk Gimel. They make their king glad. bad with wickedness. They do these things, and the king's like, that's awesome. You should do more of that. Right? And with their lies, they make all the princes. They're taking pride in the raw that they do, in all the evil that they do. They're looking at them, they're saying, look what I was able to do. Do you see what I was able to do? It's unbelievable. They're all adulterers. In front of that, Kamosa, nor bo'era me'ofa, like an oven that is heated by a baker. Yishbos me'ir, right? He stops. Me'ir milush batzek arkumatso. He stops from stoking the fire, only from kneading of the dough in order to make it, you know, to make it into chametz, in order to make it leaven a little bit. That's the idea behind it. Now, what does this mean over here? What does it mean, the oven by the baker, etc.? The lusting of another's flesh is compared to the heating, the stoking of the fire of the oven itself. The idea is that urge cannot be calmed, and they're giving into it so much that they're causing themselves to be so into it they can't stop themselves from doing it. And that adultery, the arias, one after the other, that it's being together with people that they knew they shouldn't be together with, was the problem, that it just couldn't stop. They were like animal nature. They just had to keep going, and they stopped once in a while to knead the dough. And the line behind that is to get themselves back to normalcy, bring their wives back, get their kids back, and whatever it is, and then they went right back to it. That they were so into this arise, they couldn't stop their promiscuous behavior no matter what they did. Yom Malkinu, on the day of our king, Heklu Sarin, the officers, the princes, made him sick, Hamas Miyayin, from the heat of wine. I believe it's just Yisrael, this one. Miyayin, Moshach Yadu as well, but however, yeah, I'm sure it extended at some point, the people that he's talking to. Moshach Yadu as Lotzin, extending his hands to those people who are scorners. Now, over here, we talked about this before, but Hosea had said, right, that getting involved with wine and drinking and all that stuff was the problem for many of the things that were happening to Yisrael and Yehuda. On the day of the king, Yom Malkeinu was interesting. It was either the birthday of the king or the day of his coronation, and what they did was they made parties in which they would indulge excessively in all these types of pleasures and allow people to do it all together and get people together and pull around. That's what he just said. That's the idea behind it. They didn't celebrate in a dignified manner, but it was rather by emptying the wine caskets, getting themselves totally drunk, and then shouting abuse and screaming things out, even to the king, getting involved with all these types of things. That's the idea of what happened over here. It wasn't like there was nothing good about it. Nothing positive about what they were trying to do. Excusing it by saying, it's a Shalom Zucker. Why can't I get totally and utterly plastered? You know, what's the big deal, right? Right? What are you supposed to do on a Shalom Zucker? It's an Oneg Shabbos. Oneg Shabbos. How can I remember when a guy told me here, said, we're going to have an Oneg Shabbos here, but we're not going to have any drinks. I'll get drumettes. I'm going to get cholent. I'm going to get potato kugel. I have some awesome stuff. We're going to have it out there, but we're not having any drinks. And the guy's like, there's no such thing as Oneg Shabbos without beer and wine. I said, I cannot believe you just said that.
That's true.
I can't believe you just said that.
I agree.
Right? That's the only cash on the Maisa, right? That's the only cash.
That's crazy.
But that's it. That's exactly what he's referring to. He's referring to that.
I agree with that.
And then he goes into the people that he says that what's considered a late. So what is a real late? He said there are five categories. People who slander others is considered a late. Moshav Leitzin. Number two, people that are contemptuous about anyone else who has success, any type of kavod or anything like that, they're contemptuous in them. Number three, people who scorn any possessions and achievements, including any productive activities, say, that's a nothing. He really did nothing at all, right? And then number four, empty talk, frivolous activities, all sports, I think we all understand that. And number five, right, people who cast off the yoke of heaven and say about the yoke of heaven that it means absolutely nothing. All of those are considered leitzim, and that's where they got involved. All of them are in lotzitzim. That's in the kaf leitzim. They're all included in there.
If you cast off the yoke of heaven, is that the thing?
Oh, for sure. I mean, it could be really bad.
Yeah.
This is just like you're casting off the yoke of heaven, where you just say, like, you know what, I don't want to try that hard anymore.
Oh.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And he's lotitzus. He said, okay, well, we know what it is. Ki kirbu ketanur libam, they brought close their hearts like an oven. But orbam kolaila, they lied in wait all night long. And that obviously refers to the arise that they were under. Yashin ofam, the baker sleeps at night. Bokirhu, in the morning, boer ke'ishlahava, the flame burns in the morning. Kulam yechamu ketanur, they're all heated like an oven. Ba'akulu shoftam, they have devoured all of their judges. And in other words, anyone who told them that they were wrong, the judges, they were saying, like, wait, maybe that's not the right thing to do. They could care less about them. Kol malchim, the following, kori ba'mei lai. All their kings have fallen. No one calls out to me and tells me anything whatsoever. The idea is that the judges were now no longer able to say anything bad, so they started flattering the wicked to try to get their position set in stone so they wouldn't have to worry about anything else, that no one was telling them what to do. Again, we already said that the oven is referred to like the urge of a promiscuity to try to do more and more and more. The idea is that they're heated like an oven, and they not only can they stop themselves, it's now spreading as fire throughout all the nations, so that even the judges, which were supposed to be moral people, who believed in a morality that they could uphold, even they were taken down by it. Ephraim, Ba'amahu Yisfolo, Ephraim has mingled himself among the other nations. He's been involved with all the assimilated between all the others. Ephraim Hayauga Beliafucha, he is a cake that is not turned. The line is that a cake that's placed on coals, you have to turn it about. You've all barbecued before. Obviously, you put a burger on the barbecue, you have to turn it over, it's going to burn on one side and be raw on the other. Not raw, but you know, it's not the same, right? You have to worry about that. You always have to turn it over. So what this is, Ephraim is an uga b'liyafucha, in that in one way he is totally scorched, and the other way he's totally completely raw. Literally, it's referring to something who it doesn't even taste good. At a certain point, they know they're doing wrong and they can't get any feeling out of it, but they just don't care. They're just so used to what they're doing. Achlu zarin koko, strangers who devoured their strength. In other words, come into the land, grab their stuff and bring it out. He doesn't even know. I put in gray hairs upon him. I give him things that he should worry about. Things that at the age of 10 he shouldn't even have to worry about. And already they're worried about it. He doesn't realize. He doesn't realize that this is coming from me, that it's something that I'm trying to do. That's the idea. The anag on Yisrael, the pride of an Yisrael, is afflicted, right? In front of his face. They see what's going on. The B'nai Yisrael going down. They don't turn back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they don't ask for anything whatsoever. That's the idea behind it. But Ephraim became like a silly dove. Yonaposa is really like an idiotic dove. Ain lave Mitzrayim, ain lave. They have no heart or understanding. Mitzrayim Koro, they call to Mitzrayim, Ashura Alakul, they go to Assyria. They try to get help from Egypt and Assyria, not realizing that Egypt and Assyria are only doing it in order to take them down. To take them down along with it. They want what they have. They're like a silly little dove that flies from one place to the other place around and stuff like that. It's funny. The line is referenced to the Yonah of Noah, according to the Pirushim, that the Yonah visited Gan Eden and returned with a little bit of the leaf to give back to Noah. Why wouldn't you stay there? Right. Don't tell me, well, no, the Yonah had a job to come back. The third time, the Yonah doesn't come back. Why wouldn't the Yonah stay in Gan Eden to enjoy of the delights that are there in Gan Eden? That shows you what a silly thing it was that it felt like it had to come back. And that's the idea. The Ephraim might find themselves among the other nations, right, and be like, oh, that's awesome. Well, that's awesome. But all it is just a little bit. You're going to have to come back at some point. They're not getting around to what they're supposed to do. Kesher Yehu Ephrosa Lam. When they go, I'm going to spread my net upon them, Rishti. My net will be upon them. Keopa Shemai Moridem. And I will bring them down like the birds of the heaven with my nets. Ayisirem Keshemela Adosam. I will bring them down, give them Yisurin, right, as all their people did here. In other words, they're going to be trapped by me. I'm not going to let them fully die out by assimilating among the nations and forgetting their Jewish heritage. I'm going to trap them with the net and bring them back and give them a little bit of Yisurin to bring them back a little bit. Maybe they'll listen and maybe they'll be okay, as if you trap a bird and you tame what's the word for taming it? Taming it, I guess. Right? You make it domesticated. That's what you domesticate the bird. Oilam, he nothing many. Woe to them because they've moved away from me. Showed Mahem. Destruction goes to them. Kifash will be because they sinned against me. Nonetheless, I will still redeem them. The Hema Dibro like something, even though they speak lies about me. They don't cry out to me in their hearts. In other words, I just want them to daven. And rather, they groan in their beds and complain about me. They gather together for grain and wine, and they rebel against me, thinking it's not me. It's really like, Kadosh Baruch Hu, just don't destroy our fields and we'll have the grain and the wine. But if you cause us to have bad weather, it's your fault. Right? Your fault for making the bad weather come and destroy everything that we have. I was the one who took together and bound them up and strengthened their arms and allowed them to do what they do. And now they're thinking those bad things against me. In other words, I kept certain nations from fighting them when they were planting in the fields and coming into the lands and taking over everything while they were in the midst of the Zeria and the Ketzira, etc. But they didn't think of that. They only thought of the one bad thing that happened during all that time. Yeshuvu lo al hayu. Yeshuvu, right? They return, they turn back. Lo all, right? They don't go up. Rather, Hayu Kekeshes Ramiya, they were like a tricky bow. Yiblu Bacharav Saram, they die by the sword of their own princes, or their princes will die by the sword. Mizam Lashonam Zu, from the raging of their tongue. Zolag Gombaris Mitzrayim, that's going to be the way they go down in the land of Mitzrayim. Apparently, there was going to be some type of hearsay that people are going to say about the Jews that are going to take them down. That's the idea of what's going to happen over here. And the Navi says just that. The claim thereof. It's a different type of gullus, but I do hear what you're saying, obviously. The things that we claim, that we not only claim, that we have in our written book that we bought, are not in our hands anymore. No longer in our hands. Kever Yosef in Shechem, Maris Machpelah, Kever Rachel, although that wasn't bought, that just says that he made a mound there. And obviously, Shechem, Me'ak Zito. Right? So that was the whole land of Shechem.
I took over with my
son. No, that could be Yoshua. They buried Yosef in the land that was bought for Me'ak Zito. It's literally the last words of Yoshua. That's where Yoshua. And then obviously the Makom HaMikdash. Right? That was bought by David HaMelech by Arbana Yehusi, not in the Torah, but in Nach. But the four places, it's clear it's ours.
You know,
the four places
that
we don't have at all.
They destroy like all the. What's it called? They don't believe in any of the Sunnis, like ISIS and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been going through Iraq, destroying all these archaeological places and all these different tombs. So it's funny because they're Sunni, so why are they claiming these places? Because you don't even believe in them.
No, okay. I have no questions about, you know, whatever. Yeah, no question about the Arabs. All right. El shofar. Take the shofar and put it in your mouth. This is what Hosea is being told by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Take the shofar and put it in your mouth. Kanesher al Beis Hashem. I want you to be like an eagle against the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to talk about why specifically an eagle. Avru Brisi, they were over on my bris, Valtorasi Pashon, because of what they did, right? Al Yan Avru Brisi, because they were over on my bris, Valtorasi Pashon, because they sinned against my Torah itself. Okay, the idea is either number one, just like an eagle is very swift and comes very quickly to destroy, so too the nations of the world are going to come very swiftly to come to destroy all the Jews that are there. That's one thing. So call out loud with a shofar that an eagle will be coming to destroy them. That's one way of learning it over here. It could be that the warning of what they're trying to do is to put the horn in the mouth to tell them that Chizkiah is not only coming from an assault for Yehuda as well. Li Zaku, right? Elokei Yedanucha Yisrael. Yisrael will cry out to me, right? My God, we should know you. And this is more like wishful thinking. If only they would cry out to me that we know you. The idea is like that. The eagle that we mentioned before can be learned in a different way. An eagle will be cruel to its kids in the sense that it kicks it out of the nest in order to make them fly. But as soon as an enemy comes near, the eagle is hovering over the birds, over the chicks, to make sure that nothing's going to happen. So although it seems cruel in one way, it's a cruelty that leads to something else. I know there are people that, in order to get their kids to swim, they throw them into a pool and just let them figure it out. Now, that is cruelty, but in a way, it's showing them you can take care of yourself. And that's what the eagle does. I personally have not done that, but I know somebody did it to one of my kids. That kid is definitely afraid of water. It's pretty good, right? Regardless, that's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is that the eagle is referring to Sancheirev, right? Sancheirev that came and swooped down and was going to destroy the nation. That's another way of looking at it, similar to what we said before. Zonach Yisrael toiv oyiv yerdofu. Bnei Yisrael cast away that which is good. An enemy will go after them completely. So in other words, Jewish people rejected God that was good and instead chased after their own enemy, went after Mitzrayim, Assyria, to people who in the end was going to besiege and attack them. Hamin Lichu Velomi Menu. They have made kings, Velomi Menu, but it's not from me. In other words, the kings that they refer to is Yerubim ben Nevat. I said that Yerubim could be king on condition. The condition is that he does the right thing and he keeps people on the right path. He didn't. And therefore, Bnei Yisrael should have taken him down from king and rejected him, especially when he was still young in his reign and was still doing little things. Hey, Siru v'lo yadati. They made their own sarim. I didn't know. They made silver and gold into their own idols in order so that they may be cut off. What's up?
The point is, I don't quite get it. We hold him in very high esteem.
You have him in a box?
Yeah, wasn't he one?
No, Chilik and Olam Haba.
Yeah, but what didn't he, like, have a conversation with God.
There is no conversation that Yerubbaal and Nebat had directly with Hashem.
Did he have a dream?
The dream that you're referring to is the Gemara Sanhedrin, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, do tshuva, and you and David will walk around in Gan Eden. That's the Gemara Sanhedrin. Right? And he said, which one of us is first, me or David? And he said, David's first.
Basically, he's not a slouch.
We don't see that in the Navi, that he received that in Nebuah, nor do we see anywhere that Yerubbaal and Nebat was a Navi. We don't see that anywhere. But it could be that it was told to him by Nathan and Navi or God of Hosea, right? He was told that was the Nebuah. What? Akia Shalini would have been a good call. You're right. Akia Shalini would have been the person that would have gone over to him. He'd be the person there. So I don't know. I have no idea if he actually was. I don't think so. But the point is that Bnei Yisrael, when he was still young in his reign and he had just been made king, should have realized this guy's making us do a Avodah Zarah. We got to take him down. The funny thing to me is I don't get how Akia Shalini, who had made him king in the first place and was living among the Bnei Yisrael, how he allowed those Eglei Zav to be. To be put up.
Clearly, Yerubbaal's an influential person.
There's no question. Yeah, there's no question. He was. Yeah.
And now he's telling everybody, hey guys, we're going to go do something really cool. We're going to have one of our own. They're like, oh, awesome. We're the greatest
people. No, you're right. And my only proof that you're right is because Akia Shalini was not clearly punished by the Pasuk and he's not mentioned. I would have thought, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm absolutely wrong, I would have thought that Akia Shalini could have put up a rebellion against him, especially while he was still new in his reign. But maybe you're right. Yerubbaal was a popular character. He was the son of a famous guy, the guy that was killed by David Melech. Nevat is the same person as Sheva ben Bichri, right? So he was known, right? So these people were known by people. It could be that they were connected. I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. Obviously, there were other people as well. Some say that the princes they're referring to over here, they made princes, and I didn't say anything, is a reference to Herod. Hordas made himself a king. He was an Evid of the Hashmonaic family and made himself king, and the people accepted him, right? That is, I never said that they could become kings. That was, I never said they could be even Sarin. He can't even be a leader. He's an Evid.
Your calf, Shomron, is cast off.
My anger is kindled. How long will it be until you can cleanse yourself? Clearly, this is a reference to the calf idols that they had, the Eglei Zav. How long will you have that? Your ego should have been cast off immediately. You should have said immediately, no, that's not what I want. Kimi Yisrael, because from Bnei Yisrael, he did something bad. The Harasha So is, they made it. They had a craftsman that put together his ego as well. Oh, Elohim, is that a god? Right? The calf of Shimon will be broken in pieces. It hasn't been done yet, but it will happen. It is a shocker, again, that the Eglei Zav was so well protected that they couldn't break it for hundreds of years that it lasted them from Yerubbaal. I know, it's crazy. It is crazy that none of the kings found it in their... There were some kings that were still somewhat good in Yisrael. Achav at times did tshuva, and yet still didn't destroy the Eglei Zav. That is a little bit of a shocker, unless somehow they mastered it. They thought that it was somehow much. Can you imagine if there was a Psak Halacha that was known at the time that you were allowed to worship golden calves outside the base of Mikdash? Yeah, seemingly there would be a
Sanhedrin who makes a mistake.
Yeah, the toast that would be there.
You wonder where that comes from.
You'd assume that I can't understand it. There were all these kings of Yisrael, even of Yisrael, that were doing tshuva. They were okay people, but none of them thought to get rid of the old the Avodah Zarah of the Eglei Zav. Maybe they compared it. They said, well, in Beis HaMikdash, you have the Kruvin, so we can have our own Eglei. I don't know.
Take it for granted that Alil Rego literally these calves were still going on. Who's to say that it wasn't?
Yeah, maybe they were forsaken completely, but that's even stranger. Because then who worshipped them, and why was it so big even in times of Hosea?
Well, because it was
like a cult?
The crest of the kingdom.
I hear you. But it's so strange that Hosea would have said this, and nobody. Okay, maybe you're right. Again, we're missing so much information.
Ours, for sure.
I don't hear what you're saying in that. Avodah Zarah is Avodah Zarah.
No, I understand that, but clearly, I mean, the
whole concept of Avodah Zarah was very different back then in society and as a whole as it is today.
Okay, I hear what you're saying.
That's
a little bit.
Between,
you're saying the Rambam's line that Shituf is automatic Avodah Zarah maybe is not the same way.
Rambam. I'm saying that it was...
No, but for sure there was the concept of different... If they were studying Torah, if you're learning that.
Because society around them had a God for everything. So there's a God for this and a God for that. Well, I prefer this God while you might prefer that God.
Well, clearly they're being punished for that.
But I'm saying that perhaps, so their whole idea of like worshiping a deity was maybe influenced by society, whereas Western society today.
You wouldn't think that would have happened by Rabban ben Avot coming off of David and Shlomo's kingdom. But maybe you're right. Maybe Shlomo Melech had brought in those wives, and there was something that was brought in along with them. It seems strange. It is just strange. We are so lacking in knowledge about what was going on at the time.
If I were to tell you today, without your knowledge of Kumash and everything, God wants you to slaughter animals and worship, and like as worship. That sounds ridiculous. But in those days, it was an absolute given that that's how you worship.
Agreed. If you explain it that way, then agreed. You have to explain it in the way of the Ramban. But I hear what you're saying.
You to worship those days versus the way we worship.
I hear it. I can argue the point, but I hear what you're saying. I do hear what you're saying. But Pasuk Zayin, Ki Ruach Yizro, they've sown winds. They planted wind in the ground. Sufasi Yitzoru, they're going to reap a storm. Kama Einlo, they have no stalks. Semach Beli Yasa Kama, they have buds that are yielding no flower. Ulai Yasa Zaryu Velo, even if it does do something, the strangers are going to take it anyway. Worshipping the Baal does nothing for you. It's not going to bring the rain. It's not going to bring any produce. You're not going to get anything growing from the ground. You're going to end up with nothing. And at the end of the day, all you have is wind. You get absolutely nothing left. Nivla Yisrael, Atal Yubagoyim. But Israel swallowed up. They're just among the nations. You're like a vessel that nobody has any use for. What? You need to act like the Goyim? They already have enough Goyim. You want to act like yourself? You're not acting like yourself. So right now, you're like a useless Kli that nobody needs. Kemal lo Ashur, if they would go up to Ashur, Parabodelo, they're like a wild donkey all by themselves. Ephraim, Hisno Ahabim. Ephraim hired lovers. They rented people to be able to take care of themselves. So here's what it says over here. They've gone up. The line is not that Ashur is higher than the Holy Land. Obviously, we always say that Eretz Yisrael, we do Aliyah Lerego, Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, that's what we call it, right? It means simply that they went to Assyria and they considered it a higher place. They considered it higher in culture, they considered it higher in this and that and the other. That's how they assumed that everything was over there. Others say that it's a reference specifically to what Menachem ben Gadi did. Menachem ben Gadi, in order to take care of Pul, the king of Assyria, took a ton of silver and gold and put it on a mountain for him to take, said he would stay away from Bnei Yisrael. That obviously is problematic over there. And the reason why we mention the donkey, the wild donkey, is just like the wild donkey wanders the desert air and is perfectly fine among them. Ephraim was wandering the desert air. Had you just done that, that would have been okay. But now you're getting help from Egypt, Assyria, etc. That's something that's not good. Gam ki yisnu bagoyim, even when you're among the nations, you're dealing with them. Atakab saying, now I'm going to gather them up against you. Vayachilu ma'at, they're going to tremble a little bit mimasam al sarim because of all the burdens of the kings and the officers that they're going to be together with from all the other nations. Hear about Ephraim is bechos lachto. Ephraim has made way too many altars for sin. Hayulam is bechos lachto. They use them purely for sin. And that was the cultural emulation of what you just said, Benjamin, in a way. We're adopting all their foreign ways of life and taking them out for themselves. Achtav lo rubo. I am going to write down the great things of the Torah. Torah si kmozor nakshavu, but they consider it as something so strange. They don't need what the other people say. Let me show you what the Torah says. Let me see you something like that. And they look at it as if it's something alien. They look at it and they say, why should I follow this? The other nations have it right. The other nations are doing something which is more correct, something that's a little bit better, right?
Let me wear whatever the heck I want.
Even that. Yeah, agreed. They looked at the chukim, and they immediately said, and korbanos are all chukim according to Rambam and Hilchos Me'ilah. They looked at Rambam, the Hilchos korbanos, or whatever it was that they had, and they said, this is not for me. Zivchei hab harbai. Obviously, they're being punished for that. The sacrifices by flames. Yizbuchu basar. They slaughter flesh. By yochelu, and they eat it. Hashem lo ratzama. Kadosh Baruch Hu does not want to accept those. Ata yizkor avonim. Now it just reminds them of their sin. Reminds Hashem of their sins. Yizkor chatosam. Hema mitzrayim yashuvu. They're just going to return to Egypt right afterward. The idea is, listen, I'd rather them eat their own flesh, their own basar, says the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then serve to me as korbanos what they're trying to give me. I don't want to have anything to do with this stuff. This stuff to me means absolutely nothing. It's not helping me whatsoever, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Pasuk Yudalit, Laishka Yisrael, so say, Hashem, B'nai Yisrael has forgotten their maker, even Echolos, they've made their own Hechols, the Yehuda Kirba Arim Bitzuros. Yehuda has made many, many forts, you know, fortified cities. Shalati Eishbal Rav, I'm going to send a fire against those cities. The Akhla Amin said it's going to consume all their castles, that everything's there. Why? Because they didn't build shoals or bathe midrashos. In other words, houses where they can gather in order to do kedusha. They didn't do that. They made huge houses. They made places where they can hang out and do other things. But they never built their shoals in their bathe midrashos. That's one thing they have to say. I was on a bus. I'm sorry?
Who wrote this? Hoshea.
I was on a bus this past week with a bunch of other rabbis, 37 rabbis altogether. We were going to different places that the Federation wanted us to go to. So it was altogether, it was an unbelievable bus ride. It was tremendous. The Schwartz was there all the way down to me, right?
From kind of bus.
All different rabbis. Regular school bus. We're just going from place to place.
Schwartz sat in a school bus?
We all sat in a school bus.
No, I understand, but he's also an elderly man. They couldn't put him in like a regular car or something. And
I guess they could have.
He was old.
Yeah. But either way, regardless, so we were all going in. We all went from place to place to place. We were going from one place to the other. And what the one thing that I wanted to say when it comes to stuff like this is we were bringing along with us one of the Federation people that has not been to our neighborhood at all. He's the second in command. He's right under Steve Nassiter. I forgot what his name is. He's right under Steve Nassiter. And we're sitting there as we're going through from one place to the other. Right, see, this guy is sitting there. He looks at the different shoals and he sees we pass by Yeshurun, we pass by Rebbe Rocket Shoal, we pass by Rebbe Fine Tursky, then we pass by the Aguda, right, and then the Kolo Muffalo, whatever it is. And he's like, these are impressive buildings, especially because they're only like a block away from one another, right? One after the other after the other. Very, very impressed. Very impressed. Because they are. They're bigger than all the houses. They look nicer than many of the houses that are there. And that's what he was impressed with. He said, like, you're not, our shoals are chashuv to us. They are chashuv to us.
Yeah, but if you're going on a building, you can go in the suburbs. It's pretty impressive.
No, I agree. I agree. I'm not saying that's in a way that in of itself. No, in a way that also is pretty. Is pretty impressive. I just wish they were used the same way our shoals are used. You know, more than just once a year. You know, but nonetheless, no, it's impressive. But nonetheless, he was impressed with the volume and the sizes thereof. I guess in theory you could have just one big one, but that wouldn't work. We all know that. Yeah. Parak Tes, let's start this off. We're about 6 minutes. How long is it? Short, isn't it? Yeah, so let's see if we can get through the whole thing over here. 20 psukim, I think?
17,
yeah. Let's see what we can do. Al Titzach Yisrael Gilko Amin. Don't rejoice as the other people do. Kizinez Malo Hakal, because you've gone astray from your God. Ohafta es non al kol gorno sagon. You've loved dealing with harlotry and with the gifts that are given from there rather than anything else. In other words, don't do what they do in their rejoicing. They have a big simcha. Don't get involved in their simcha. Let's say the Cubs actually won tonight instead of losing, right? Oh, Shkoyach, I didn't realize. Let's say the Cubs actually won tonight instead of getting killed, right? So if that would happen and everybody were rejoicing, we shouldn't rejoice in the same rejoicing that they're doing out there. We shouldn't have the same feeling or get around it like that. There you go. You have your beer. You can go ahead and have your beer. Just make sure you... I don't want a beer. Coke. Goren the Yekev lo yurein, right? The idea is that Goren the Yekev, even the grain and the wine that's among them, they're refusing to be fed by them. They're refusing for that to be good enough. The Sirosh Yechacheshba, the strong wine, the new wine that's there, is failing them. Even though they had good stuff, it's like, well, we want more. We want more. And they're not having it good enough with all that stuff. It says, Lo Yeshu Ba'aretz Hashem, they will therefore no longer dwell in the land of Hashem. The Shav Ephraim Mitzrayim will be sent down to Mitzrayim, over Ashur, Tomi Yochelo, and they'll eat unclean food in Assyria. Fine, you don't want the good stuff that you got? Then I'm going to give you what you want. I'm going to give you wherever you go. And that's the idea. That was the curse that they're going to be exiled to many different places. Yes. You're going to get your 99-cent rat burgers. You know, that's what you're going to get. Lo Yisku Hashem Yain, they're not going to put all the wine offerings. Lo Yar Velo Zivchem, they're not going to be involved with the Zivchem, are not going to be good for God. Kelechem Onim Lehem, it's going to be like the bread of mourners. Kol Och Lev Yitamoh, anything that they eat is going to be Metamidem. Kilachem Lenashem Lo Yavo Beis Hashem, their bread will only be for themselves. They will no longer come into the Beis HaMikdash because all of them will be out. Now, it's funny because those people hadn't been to the Beis HaMikdash for hundreds of years. But nonetheless, they'll no longer even have the offer, the ability to go in. Matas Leon Moed Leon Chag Hashem, what are you going to do on that appointed day, on the day of the Feast of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Meaning, what are you going to do on that day when the destruction happens over there? there, what are you going to say to yourselves? Are you going to be sad? Or are you just going to be like, well, phew, now we don't have to do anything anymore. Now at least I don't have to bring any more korbanos. Because they have gone from destruction, right, Mitzrayim, to the Egyptians, to captain, they'll be gathered up there. Mof to Kabre, Mof, which is a reference to a place somewhere in the west, or possibly referring to a to in Egypt themselves, is going to bury them. Machmad lechaskom. That's an interesting pasuk in and of itself. Literally, the words are, their treasures will be made of silver. Kimosh yorashem, the weeds and the nettles will possess them. Choach ba'aleim, there will be needles in their, or thorns in their tents. Interesting, right? When there is thorn in their tents and the Jews all run away, Machmad is going to come in and take over all of those lands. That's another way of reading this pasuk, which could be read in that such a way. Bo yimei apkuda, the day of the punishing has come. Bo yimei ashilum, the day of the recompense, the day where they're going to be paid back is going to come. Yidu Yisrael, Evyel Anavi, the Jews know the days of the prophets. Yidu Yisrael, Evyel Anavi, the Jews know the foolishness of the prophets. Meshuga, they call him mad. Isha Ruach, a man of spirit. Al Rova Von Chavarav Meshtema, that's because of how many sins you have and how great is your hatred for the word of God, that every prophet, every man of spirit is considered a fool and an idiot and somebody that they're not going to listen to whatsoever. So far, find him alahai. Ephraim's seer, right, is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in other words, with what he does. Navi Pach Yakosh. The Navi, right, is going to have a snare in all of his days. Al-Kod Rechav, Mashmetav Beis Alahav. There's going to be hatred and there's going to be snares in everything he tries to do. This is referring, obviously, not to the real prophets, but to the false prophets, that anything they try to do, they're going to have impediments that stop them from being able to do anything. They have gone very deep and they have corrupted themselves. Kimea Giva, like in the days of Giva, back in the days of Giva, Pilekish B'Giva, that's what it's like now among Bnei Yisrael. Yisgav Ram Hashem will remember their sins. Yivkot Chatzav Sam, you will punish them for what they did. Kanav Ma Midbo, what's up?
We have a man. This might be a good place to stop. We're not going to finish the last 7 seconds.
Yeah, you're right. All right, we'll stop right here. We'll stop with Pasuk Yud right over here.
Go ahead, guys.